We chat to mindset coach Andre Nell again, as always, around this time every week. And we become unstoppable because that's what Andre is teaching us to do. Isn't that so, Andre? Hello, welcome back.
Hi, Ion. Thanks so much for having me again. I'm really excited for another unstoppable episode with you.
Yes, and all the way from China. How's it going your side?
Well, it's very stormy, very dark, very rainy. Rode all the way home with my wife on our little bike, our little e-bike scooter thing with rain ponchos. We got home pretty dry, very safe, and only to park our bike in like a kind of a puddly area where there was no other place to park it. So my shoes got really wet. But yeah, you know, that's not the worst thing that could happen to a person, so I'm still positive, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Positive. And we're actually going to talk about that just now, about negativity that happens to sneak into your mind sometimes, when you don't even realize. But talking about the weather, it's been crazy all over the world. I just said to Andre off air that Dubai, I mean, last week they had a year and a half's rain in one day. It is insane. I don't know what's happening with the weather. People have all these theories, but we're not going to go into that now. So
I have one. I have one. I think this is worth mentioning. It's about weather in China. So obviously, it's like speculated that the stuff in Dubai was cloud seeding. I'm not sure if you read about that, but
that's exactly
what I heard. Yeah. So I was at a brunch once with some people here in China. Sounds weird to say. They were acquaintances. I didn't really know them, but they were friends of a friend. And so we went to brunch, and some of these people had been living in Beijing for like over 10 years. And I just asked them, you know, how has Beijing changed throughout the years? And one of them mentioned to me, one of the people who were there at the brunch, they said that at one point, somebody in Beijing had the idea of digging out a mountain so that in the west, the mountain in the west, to allow wind to pass through that wouldn't normally get through to blow clouds that were above Beijing towards the east. I don't know if that's making sense. They chose to dig out a mountain to let wind blow through to blow rain clouds to the east. Because what happened, I think, before that, if I'm remembering correctly, please nobody quote me on this. This is just a story. It's not financial or medical or any other advice. It's just a story. Something about Beijing was also trying like cloud seeding, getting, you know, more rain to fall in the city. But what happened was that rain was being taken away then from other cities in the east, like farmlands that needed the rain. So their solution was to kind of dig out a mountain to let the wind blow through to blow the clouds to where the clouds were supposed to be.
So basically, anyway, you know, humans are modifying the weather and all that kind of stuff to suit them better, but I don't think it's going too well with that. And the cloud seeding thing is a bit worrying.
The suburb I lived in before I lived in Beijing, I lived in Tianjin, which is a coastal city in China, a really big port city. They built a new district or a suburb called Binhai New Area. And one day, I was just at work, and we were chatting about Binhai and the area and with one of my Chinese colleagues. And she casually mentioned to me that the area that we were living in used to be the ocean. They just kind of dug out sand and brought sand from other places and extended Tianjin, I'm assuming so they could have like more livable space and a bigger area to have a port, you know. So
the thing is, what if the sea comes back, you know? What if the sea, I mean, the sea's busy reclaiming land everywhere, so what if it's coming back for that area, you know? Just never know.
I'm not there anymore. I don't think about it.
Thank goodness,
living in the present.
That's what it's all about. Okay, so last week we spoke about vision boards, and for those who didn't listen or don't know, vision boards are, of course, what you put against your wall, or maybe more digitally, your wallpaper, whatever, something that you see every day, and you kind of, you know, get into gear and steer your life into that direction to get what is on that vision board. So we had some feedback on the WhatsApp line. Our WhatsApp line, by the way, for future reference, 061-253-0670. That's 061-253-0670. And we had some feedback regarding the vision boards. Andre, do you want to hear the feedback?
Absolutely. I live for the feedback.
Okay, also.
That's amazing.
I like the vibe that the listeners have going here at the moment. Hi, I had a vision board since I was a teen right next to my band posters. Today, 2 decades later, I'm proud to say that I have all the things on the vision board and more. It really helps to steer your life in the right direction. Thanks for the show, Lorraine. Oh, that's cute.
Wow, that is amazing. My mouth is literally hanging open right now. That is incredible. Lorraine, I'm so happy for you.
She didn't say what she had on the board, but, you know, it was obviously realistic stuff, and now she's got it and more. Yeah. I like that.
Well, we never know. It could have been outrageously big goals, but just the fact that she had a vision board and she focused on it every day, I think that's a real testament to the power of vision boards.
Yeah, and two decades later, it takes time.
To follow through on it. And one of the things that people often forget about having a vision and having goals is at some point you got to have faith, right? When you set your goals or your visions, it starts out with like a really strong desire. You decide you really want this thing. And then after a while, you know, that initial like spark and that desire is going to fade a little bit, you know, because your goal is not that exciting or new as it used to be. But it's still something that you want. That's when you got to switch that desire into faith, right? Faith or you could call it belief, just something where you know that it's going to work out, right? In your mind, you've got to know and have that faith or that belief that it's going to work out. And that repetition of faith, if you mix that in with the thoughts, if you mix that in every time you see your visions or your goals or you write them out, that's what's ultimately going to get you to where you want to be, to your vision and your goals, that faith. I don't know Lorraine, but I'm assuming she had a lot of faith in herself and in her goals, which is why ultimately she was able to achieve them. That is amazing.
That's a great success story. Thanks for sharing that, Lorraine. And then this next one. Oh my gosh. Okay. Growing up, I also had a vision board or two. A lot of it was unrealistic, like having my own spaceship. But at least my wife looks like the chick I wanted. Oh, it's brilliant. Mike, it's from Mike. Mike, that was brilliant. I'm not sure if you're serious, but that's hilarious.
That's amazing. Perhaps, you know, a spaceship's a bit unrealistic, but maybe the vision or idea he had of his wife was a bit more attainable, and so he got it.
Yeah, that is more realistic. But boys, boys are like that. They want to go on spaceships and, you know, do kind of stuff.
Here's what I wonder. I wonder if Mike's wife had a vision board of Mike on her vision board, and perhaps they're saying the same thing about each other.
Oh,
you know?
That's a very good question.
Mike, if you're listening right now, ask your wife, please, if she had a vision board with your picture on.
I would imagine that Mike had a cutout of an actress or a model or something, and he put it on the vision board, and then obviously his wife looks very similar. Maybe she's got the same body build or something.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
I must say, these two like comments that we've gotten about vision boards, I'm very jealous of the fact. Not jealous, but I wish in my younger days I had been more exposed to vision boards and created one, because I never had like really posters on my wall or anything. You know, I never did a vision board or something like that, probably because I didn't see myself as being very creative.
Wow, okay. But
I wonder in retrospect what I would have put on it and if I would ever achieve that. Yeah, I remember one of the things that I wanted to be when I first thought about what job I wanted to do when I grew up was to be an architect, because my dad's an architect. I'm sure everybody at some point wanted to be or do what one of my parents did.
Yeah.
But I think that is like, that's probably the least suitable job I could ever have, because I cannot draw. I cannot do any like visual spatial reasoning. It's just not my strength, you know? So that for me was like, if I was to put that on my vision board, it would be a grave mistake because I don't have the capacity to be an architect.
Yeah, but that's normal. And, you know, as reality sets in, as we get older, you know, that usually doesn't align with what we want to do. But I think a lot of boys especially want to do what their dads do, just to be like that, you know. Usually, I want to be a firefighter, or I want to be a paramedic or a policeman or whatever, because it looks, you see, they watch the movies and it looks so cool in the movies.
Yeah.
It's a different story in reality.
I was way too fearful to want to be a firefighter or a policeman.
Same, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Same, Andre. Absolutely. So the next one is from Jane, who says, love the chats. I listen on Saturday mornings. Okay, that would obviously be the repeat. On Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. The only thing you sometimes have control over in this life is your perspective. That's from Jane, talking about our topic last week, also perspective. So she says that's one of the only things in life that you have control over. What do you say to that, Andre?
I say that's a very interesting perspective. And I like that perspective. I think, is it Jane, correct? Jane.
Yes.
Yeah, Jane. Jane's absolutely right. You have control over your perspective. And I think to even build on that is you're the only person who has that specific perspective, right? Nobody else has a perspective like yours, which automatically makes whatever you think or do or however you see the world incredibly unique. And if it's unique, that means it's special, it's powerful, it's one of a kind. And so, like, with your perspective comes your thoughts and your model of the world and how you brought up. So Jane's absolutely right. You know, you do have control of your perspective, which can sometimes be a negative. You know, like we mentioned last week, we do sometimes get caught up in our own perspective and we forget the value if we were to assume that our perspective is valuable because we have control over it. That means that we should also assume that other people's perspectives are valuable. Because if our perspective is unique, their perspective is unique as well. And we should definitely, you know, once in a while, reach out and try to see things from a different perspective. It's all about perspective. When I was younger, I used to say that a lot. It's all about perspective because you can take any event. And I promise you, there can be a million people who just see it as like the worst thing to happen. And ugh, just ruined my day. And then you can take another group of like a million people and they can look at the same event, but their perspective is different and it changes the whole meaning of the event or the experience. So perspective, it's incredibly powerful. And I think we're often not aware of how our perspective or even our judgment sometimes creates meaning in our lives. It's very interesting which is why I like to ask people to look at their own problems from a different perspective, from a friend's perspective, or pretend that their goals or their problems or their challenges are their friends or somebody else's. Because that shift alone, you know, just it really makes such a big difference in your life.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. And also that's where negativity can also creep in. And we also got to talk about that today in this episode. Just quickly back to the vision boards. This is a very nice story that we also received. I think this was earlier in the week. We grew up really poor, and I remember that the vision board I had in my diary really helped me to get up for school in very bad circumstances. Whenever I felt overwhelmed or discouraged, I would look at my vision board and just keep dreaming. It saved me. And that was from R. Oh, that's amazing. You see the power of it.
That's beautiful. That's really touching. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, Omar.
Yeah, so you
that's
see
really
when
incredible.
You...
I must have so much like faith and belief in him or herself, whoever it is, just to keep looking back at that vision and taking that vision and you know believing that it's gonna become true one day. That's really amazing.
Yeah, you see, it gets you through the hard times, eh? Just that motivation, just looking at that vision board and saying, I'm going to go to school because I want that car one day, or I want that house one day. So, you know, there was a little child with that little book looking at it, and it helped him or her through life. I think it's brilliant. It saved me.
It's a wonderful testament to the fact that whatever you want or whatever you have in your life first needs to exist in your mind. I think we've kind of touched on this in various ways, but it's something I'm realizing more and more and more, is that if I want something, if I want to experience something, or if I don't want to experience something, just like R shared in his message, first it's got to become real in your mind. You've got to have the thought and that belief, and through repetition, through continuously believing it and telling yourself and looking at it and seeing it and feeling it, there's literally no other option besides for it to materialize into reality. So such a powerful and wonderful testimony, just about seeing things and having things first in your vision, in your mind, before they manifest in reality. Wow.
That's a very nice, very, very nice, inspiring story. And vision boards and how important they are. And then we end off on a high note here with another pretty funny one. My vision board was right above my bed, and it would be the first thing I would see in the mornings and the last thing at night. One night, it came loose along with the cork board it was attached to and fell right on my face. How's that for... How's that for a vision board? Cheers, Gary. Gary. I'm not sure if this is Gary I know, but it's bloody funny.
Gary just blowing all of my theories out the window with that story.
Fell on his face.
I hope Gary's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he's okay. Yeah, he should be.
That's another different way of trying to get those visions in your head. You know, find that can fall onto your head.
I've also had stuff falling on me from my wall onto me during the night. It's quite scary, actually. It's not fun. It depends on how heavy it is as well.
Yeah. I actually want to pose this question to everybody out there, you know. I keep having to answer questions. Let's pose a question to everybody who's listening, especially for those who sent in messages or who've made vision boards that were, you know, where some of the things came true. You know, I wonder what tips do you have for creating a great vision board? Like I mentioned, I didn't create one when I was a child. Seems like a lot of other people did. It's something that I'm going to do as soon as I get back to South Africa. So I would love any tips, you know, that people have for creating a vision board, any creative ideas, or, you know, how they found their pictures, what they put on it, anything that they found really helpful and inspiring, you know, that kept them true to their vision. I really love some tips or ideas on that.
Yeah, I would also love some tips. Please share those tips with us. And as you can see, we really love your feedback, whether it's sad or funny. I think we had a great collection of both in this week's feedback. And we would love some more. So please send us your feedback to our WhatsApp line, 061-253-0670. If you don't have WhatsApp, you can send it to hello@eradiosa.co.za. We absolutely love hearing from you. Isn't that so, Andre?
Absolutely. It's my favorite part. Yeah.
It is, really, man.
I think once take it again, I love feedback. I love questions. Because like we said right at the start, this podcast and these conversations are about everybody listening. It's about giving as much value and inspiring as much change as we can.
So we want so much feedback next week that we can't fit it into one show. let's aim for that, because we're always aiming for new goals, as we said in last week's episode as well. Andre, we have about 10 minutes left or so just before we wrap it up this week. Touching on negativity, you had an experience recently that you want to share with us.
Yeah, so it touches actually on negativity and perspective, you know, because often we're our own harshest critics, right? You know, when things happen or when we do things, we tend to kind of overlook how good something might be or how well we did or what we achieved. And we tend to kind of amplify all the negative parts, you know. So this week, I was helping somebody out who was feeling a lot of negativity and had a lot of negative thoughts, and you know, it kind of built up and made them think not positively about themselves. Okay, and this is somebody that I cared about, that I love, and it didn't make me feel happy. It didn't make me feel happy to see them thinking and feeling about themselves the way they did. And what was really interesting to me, first of all, which we can relate back to your perspective, is the way they see their situation and the way I see it, and other people that are involved in their life, just to see it in completely different ways, you know? And take a guess, you know, the person who's experiencing that negativity, their perspective is really negative. It's down. It's not very uplifting. But everybody else, including my perspective, is like, you know, I believe in my friend. They're my friend for a reason, because I love them, I care about them, and you know, I see good in them, I see potential in them. As I was talking to my friend, I wanted to give some advice, and this kind of process came to me about how I could help him deal with, you know, a little bit of negative thinking and negative thoughts. And I want to share it today. It's not very structured. It just came to me, but I just want to share it. So the first thing that I would advise, you know, when a negative thought comes into your head, like maybe you feel a little bit disappointed, or, you know, not good enough, or you're just a bit doubtful, I think the first thing that a lot of people, including myself, used to do wrong is we try to resist it, right? We try to like push it away. We try not to think about it. But the more we do that, the more we resist something, the more it persists. Because what we're doing is we're putting energy into it. We're putting focus into it. We're focusing on this thing that we're trying to get rid of, and then we're just building it up and up and up and up. And that's how molehills become mountains, right? Because we just put all of our energy into this problem and this negativity, and it just blows out of proportion. So the first thing I would suggest is actually to accept it, to allow the negative thought, okay? What I mean by that is you have one negative thought. Just allow it to exist. You acknowledge that it's there. You're like, huh, I just thought of this. It's negative. It doesn't feel good. You're accepting it, okay? You're not allowing it to become more. You're just accepting it for what it is, and you're giving it space to exist. Because as soon as you do that, I think you allow for a very neutral space to exist in your mind. If you have a negative thought and you focus on just getting rid of it, you know, you're putting a lot of negative energy into it and you're building it up. But if you just allow that negative thought to enter and you acknowledge that it's there, I think it creates a sense of calm and a space in your mind, like a mental space or a mindset. Oh, look at that, a mindset of just neutrality and calmness. And I think the next step from that, which I shared with my friend, is just to start seeing this thought as an opportunity for growth. So it's negative. It's showing you an area of your life that's not ideal. So what can you do from the start? You can turn it into an opportunity for growth. Meaning, if the negative thought is like, I'm feeling disappointed, I didn't get done what I wanted to do today. The positive is to look at all of the things that you did get done, or all of the other days where you did such amazing work and you got a lot of things done and you felt good. So you kind of negate that. Once you've allowed it to enter your mind, you start to replace it and see it as an opportunity for growth. Or if you don't want to replace it with a positive thought, see what can you learn from this negativity? How can you make it helpful, right? One of the things that we've spoken about in the past is there's not really much such a thing as a right mindset, but for me, it's all about having a helpful mindset. And a negative thought isn't really helpful. So seeing what you can learn from the thought, how you can turn it into something helpful, would be a really nice second step, you know, just when negative thoughts enter your space. From there, you've given this negative thought space, you've learned from it, it's an opportunity for growth. There, I love this saying. When I learned this for the first time, it's really wonderful. From there, you tell yourself, all right, thank you for sharing. Delete, delete, delete. And you tell yourself these words, delete, delete, delete. And you replace that negative thought with something positive, and you start building on that positive. You start appreciating who you are, appreciating what you've done, appreciating what you have. You show some gratitude and you amplify that. You feel how that appreciation and that positivity starts filling up your mind. One positive thought turns into another. All of a sudden you're sitting different your chest is puffed, you're standing tall, you're sitting tall, you're feeling much better. And as soon as you've reached that point of where you've amplified it enough and you feel better again, what do we all need to do every day? We need to breathe. What do we often not focus on? Breathing. We just let go, we exhale, and with that breath out, we just let go of whatever negativity came in, and we move on. And in this, by doing this, I think you really allow yourself to take control of yourself and your mind when negative thoughts enter, or when negativity enters your kind of your mindset, your mental space. You take control of it and you learn to use it to your advantage. And what's going to happen is, if you repeatedly turn something negative into something positive, soon that negative self's not going to show up anymore, because every single time you've conditioned it to turn into something positive. And yeah, that's what I share with my friend as I'm saying it now. I'm kind of tweaking the process as I'm going, but I thought it would just be valuable to share with you and to share with everybody else, you know, for anybody who's feeling a bit negative and who might be a bit overwhelmed with negativity right now. I hope it's helpful.
Thank you, Andre. That was excellent. And what a way to end another edition of Become Unstoppable with Andre Nell. Andre, you do private coaching sessions as well. Can you give us your website again and your details, please?
Oh, it will be an absolute pleasure. So my website is www.andrenellcoaching.com. Everything you need to know is there. You can read about my coaching, about what I do, about the amazing results that you can experience, and from there you can make a booking on my bookings page. It's very simple. Choose a time and a date that suits you, and yeah, the first session is free. I offer a free discovery coaching session for you to get a sense of what coaching is like, to start to feel energized, gain some clarity, and see for yourself if you want to continue with it or not. If you don't want to go to my website, you just want to get in touch with me straight away, I'm available by email at Andre@AndreNellCoaching.com. So A-N-D-R-E, Andre@AndreNellCoaching.com. That's Nell with one L. Some people spell it with two, but it's one L.
Yeah, like the South African Afrikaans Nell, because he is South African, yeah. And he's coming back soon, right?
Yes, I'm coming. The time is flying by so quickly.
Yeah, you gotta finish packing, eh? It's coming. But it's great. It will be nice to have you closer, Andre.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I'm really testing my faith as well in my vision and my ideas about South Africa throughout this whole time. You know, I'm doing a lot of mindset, mental, internal work, and just making sure I have faith and belief that everything is gonna go how I would like it to go. And if it doesn't, I know I'll be okay, because, you know, I'm capable of turning these negative things into opportunities for growth. So yeah, it's an opportunity for me to live congruently and to practice what I preach, as they say.
Yeah. Love it. Andre, thank you so much. Until next week, same time, same place.
Amazing. See you there.
Take care. Bye.
Moving from stuck to unstoppable is an empowering journey when you're working with a great coach. So take the opportunity and tune in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on eRadio SA with me, Andre Nell, Mindset and Life Transformation Coach. Propel yourself into the realm of your untapped potential and break free from the invisible chains of your limitations. Book a free discovery coaching session with me by heading over to my website, www.andrenellcoaching.com. See you there.